But overall, after you'd canceled out a few layers of contradiction, Leon approved of revision. He approved of it big time, mainly because revision was about thinking, and he figured thinking never hurt anybody. So I was thinking, and thinking hard, because I was aware that something was slowly and imperceptibly creeping up on me, just outside of my conscious grasp. Something connected to something Duffy had said to me. You haven't found anything useful. Not a thing. No evidence at all. I heard the gate swing back. Looked up to see Paulie waiting for me to drive through. The rain was beating on his slicker. He still had no hat. I exacted some petty revenge by waiting a minute myself. Duffy's revision suited me well enough. I didn't care much about Beck. I really didn't, either way. But I wanted Teresa, and I would get her. I wanted Quinn, too. And I would get him, too, whatever Duffy said. The revision was only going to go so far. I checked on Paulie again. He was still waiting. He was an idiot. He was out in the rain. I was in a car. I took my foot off the brake and rolled slowly through the gate. Then I accelerated hard and headed down to the house. I put the Saab away in the slot I had once seen it in and walked out into the courtyard. The mechanic was still in the third garage, the empty one. I couldn't see what he was doing. Maybe he was just sheltering from the rain. I ran back to the house. Beck heard the metal detector announce my arrival and came into the kitchen to meet me. He pointed at his sports bag. It was still there on the table, right in the center.
Get rid of this shit. Throw it in the ocean, okay?
Okay, I said. He went back out to the hallway, and I picked up the bag and turned around, headed outside again, and slipped down the ocean side of the garage block wall. I put my bundle right back in its hidden dip. Waste not, want not. And I wanted to be able to return Duffy's Glock to her. She was already in enough trouble without having to add the loss of her service piece to the list. Most agencies take that kind of a thing very seriously. Then I walked on to the edge of the granite tables and swung the bag and hurled it far out to sea. It pinwheeled end over end in the air, and the shoes and the email unit were thrown clear. I saw the email thing hit the water. It sank immediately. The left shoe hit toe first and followed it. The bag parachuted a little and landed gently face down and filled with water and turned over and slipped under. The right shoe floated for a moment, like a tiny black boat. It pitched and yawed and bobbed urgently like it was trying to escape to the east. It rode up over a peak and rode down on the far side of the crest. Then it started to list sideways. It floated maybe 10 more seconds, and then it filled with water and sank without a trace. There was no activity in the house. The cook wasn't around. Richard was in the family dining room eating a sandwich he must have made for himself and staring out at the rain. Elizabeth was still in her parlor, still working on Dr. Zhivago. By a process of elimination, I figured Beck must be in his den, maybe sitting in his red leather chair and looking at his machine gun collection. There was quiet everywhere. I didn't understand it. Duffy had said they had 5 containers in, and Beck had said he had a big weekend coming up, but nobody was doing anything. I went up to Duke's room. I didn't think of it as my room. I hoped I never would. I lay down on the bed and started thinking again. Tried to chase whatever it was hovering way in the back of my mind. It's easy, Leon Garber would have said. Work the clues. Go through everything you've seen, everything you've heard. So I went through it, but I kept coming back to Dominique Cole. The 5th time I ever saw her, she drove me to Aberdeen, Maryland, in an olive-green Chevrolet. I was having second thoughts about letting genuine blueprints out into the world. It was a big risk, not usually something I would worry about, but I needed more progress than we were making. Cole had identified the dead drop site and the drop technique, and where and when and how Gorowski was letting his contact know that the delivery had been made. But she still hadn't seen the contact make the pickup, still didn't know who he was. Aberdeen was a small place, 20-some miles north and east of Baltimore. Gorowski's method was to drive down to the big city on a Sunday and make the drop in the inner harbor area. Back then, the renovations were in full swing, and it was a nice, bright place to be, but the public hadn't caught on all the way yet, and it stayed pretty empty most of the time. Gorowski had a POV. It was a 2-year-old Mazda Miata, bright red. It was a plausible car, all things considered. Not new, but not cheap, either, because it was a popular model back then, and nobody could get a discount off sticker, so used values held up well. And it was a 2-seater, which was no good for his baby girls, so he had to have another car, too. We knew his wife wasn't rich. It might have worried me and someone else, but the guy was an engineer. It was a characteristic choice. He didn't smoke, didn't drink. Entirely plausible that he would hoard his spare dollars and spring for something with a sweet manual transmission and rear-wheel drive. The Sunday we followed him, he parked in a lot near one of the Baltimore marinas and went to sit on a bench. He was a squat, hairy guy, wide but not tall. He had the Sunday newspaper with him. He spent some time gazing out at the sailboats. Then he closed his eyes and turned his face up to the sky. The weather was still wonderful. He spent maybe 5 minutes just soaking up the sun like a lizard. Then he opened his eyes and opened his paper and started to read it. "This is his 5th time," Cole whispered to me. 3rd trip since they finished with the Sabo stuff.
Standard procedure so far?
Identical. He kept busy with the paper for about 20 minutes. I could tell he was actually reading it. He paid attention to all the sections, except for sports, which I thought was a little odd for a Yankees fan. But then I guessed a Yankees fan wouldn't like the Orioles stuffed down his throat all the time.
"Here we go,"
Cole whispered. He glanced up and slipped a buff army envelope out of the newspaper, snapped his left hand up and out to take a kink out of the section he was reading and to distract. Because at the exact same time, his right hand dropped the envelope into the garbage can beside him at the end of the bench.
"Neat," I said.
"You bet. This boy is no dummy."
I nodded. He was pretty good. He didn't get up right away. He sat there for maybe 10 more minutes, reading. Then he folded the paper slowly and carefully, and stood up and walked to the edge of the water and looked out at the boats some more. Then he turned around and walked back toward his car with the newspaper tucked up under his left arm.
"Now watch," Cole said.
I saw him take a nub of chalk out of his pants pocket with his right hand. He scuffed against an iron lamp post and left a tick of chalk on it. It was the 5th mark on the post. 5 weeks, 5 marks. The first 4 were fading away with age in sequence. I stared at them through my field glasses while he walked on into the parking lot and got into his roadster and drove slowly away. I turned back and focused on the garbage can.